But I still, of course, have a very heavy burden for this age bracket. And so the brothers asked, and I said, if possible, we can continue this, this monthly fellowship. Now, I understand today's time is up till 6 o'clock. And so I suggest that we start now. We end about in an hour, 15 minutes or so, and then we'll have a 15-minute break and a bathroom break and so on. And then we'll have another 45 minutes to an hour. Now, there will be some dinner served, so that's great. Okay, so there'll be something good at the end. Okay.
Only in San Francisco.
Only in San Francisco, okay. I hope I can get some Hong Kong milk tea. I don't know whether they'll be there or not. Okay. If not, I'll get it in Burlingame tomorrow. Okay. So the last few times we covered some rather overarching subjects related to our vision, right, related to our commission. I'm speaking, of course, to this age group, roughly 25 to 40-ish, so-called young working saints. And let me remind myself again, not just you, that this age group is burgeoning. It is a growing contingent in the Lord's recovery, I suppose everywhere, but for sure, in the United States. And I would say, particularly, at least according to statistics, here in Northern Cal or in the Bay Area. I'm just even hearing again, yesterday, that here in San Francisco, you are, without sending any call, people are moving in here on a monthly basis, or San Jose, I sometimes hear on a weekly basis, because of the jobs, because of this high-tech employment center that this Bay Area has is. And so particularly in this in the churches in this region, it is almost a very, very, almost a phenomena, I would put it that way. Down where I am in Irvine, to a lesser degree, but here is just a phenomena, I would just put it that way. So with that in view, all these in view, one just cannot, turn his face to the other side. One has to look at this situation and take this situation as a signal, as a sign from the Lord. You know, in doing the Lord's work, in following the Lord's footsteps, the important thing is we are sensitive to the Lord speaking. And the Lord speaking, of course, is within us. But I will tell you, more often than not, that speaking is in the environment. In the environment. So Paul took care of doors, open doors, closed doors, and he acted accordingly. Well, since maybe by now 5 to 7 years ago, there was this kind of a rising burden for the young working saints. And some of you sitting here were actually 5 to 7 years younger, you know. At the blink of an eye today, you are no longer that. You are now 5 to 7 years older. People who were in their early 30s today are pressing 40s. Just think about how quick time flies. So we identify that as a particular burden in the recovery. Hence, a lot of focus and attention over time to this age group. And I would say that burden has evolved, and the way to take care of that burden also has evolved over time. Whilst before, we mainly have these kind of meetings in these semi-annuals and what have you, now I think there's a lot more attention at the local level or at the regional level, and that should be. To me, this burden is not temporary. It's going to continue. This is a perennial burden, just in the recovery. And I like that, and I think that is correct. Sitting here today, coming in here, listening to your prayer and also joining into your prayer, actually, I will tell you, my first word today, this afternoon, is actually not directed merely towards you. I like to direct this word, this first word of burden, towards all the saints. All the saints. In fact, all the churches. What is that word? That word is intercession. Before the Lord can do anything, of course, we know this as a principle, there is always a prior cooperation on the earth already. And so God moved, of course, according to his own sovereignty and timing. No one can change that. No one can have anything to do with that. However, in the principle of incarnation, actually today God does not work alone. God does not move alone. He has limited himself, restricted himself to man, and he not only he would not, but he could not work without man's cooperation anymore. We got to be very clear about that principle. So whatever revival, whatever great work of renewal, whatever advancement in the Lord's, in the spiritual realm, none of them would be something just entirely divine, entirely miraculous. They may be the origin, may be divine, may be the Lord himself. But the outworking, the execution, the carrying out of that burden, we should be very clear, has something to do with man, and that means some men, some women, some believers of his, some faithful saints must have cooperated with the Lord for something to happen. Well, with the working saints, the young working saints, I really appeal to the elders, to the saints in general, to the brothers and sisters, of course, to you. You're in that group to pray. I want you to pray. Yes, we need to talk like this. We need to have conferences. We need trainings, whatever. We need that. But I will tell you, nothing will trump prayer. We need to pray. I think anyone who is here today, and everyone here is... You're a product of somebody's prayer. You don't know, you don't know who prayed or which group prayed. You don't know. I don't know. But the Lord knows. Somewhere, sometime, there were some faithful ones that were raised up by him to pray, not generally. Listen to me. When I say intercession, I don't mean a general kind of prayer. I mean a specific, particular petition or supplication on behalf of some men or women who had that burden put within them or who have some observation of a particular situation, and because they are for the Lord and they are for the Lord's interest and they couldn't do that much, so they bow down and they pray. I can tell you that I am a product of prayer. In my case, I kind of knew who prayed. In my case, I would say I would single out personally, in my case, my grandmother. You know, this time I went back to Hong Kong for my sister's memorial. I took my two son-in-laws to her graveside, and just so that they would have a connection. You know, these Hong Kong steep hillside, you squint and the cemetery look like high rises, you know, except there are dead people there. They all look like that. You know, in Hong Kong, all these layers of concrete jungle, they call it. And it was in 98 humidity, degree humidity, 90 degrees. We walked down these places, and we finally found that graveside there. And we had a prayer there to the Lord of consecration. And I consecrated myself again. Well, I know she prayed. And now, I will tell you, my grandmother did not know the stuff that we know. I'm talking about the truth, God's economy, all that wonderful stuff. She didn't know. She saw Watchman Nee. She was at that revival in Hong Kong when Watchman Nee was there. And when Brother Lee came, and he got to know Brother Lee, and in fact, she partook of one of the trainings, in, I believe the first one, 1955, when T. Austin Sparks went to Taiwan the first time, a very glorious time, and she was there. In fact, Brother Lee knew her and remembered her, because in that particular visit, she had just broken her leg and she was walking with a cane, and Brother Lee still remember her. She prayed for her grandchildren, and I was one of them. Yeah. And I can tell you today how she prayed, because I go into her room. I didn't live with her, but when I visit her, I go into her room. She would just, when I come in the door, how old was I? I was 12, maybe. Huh? And she would just grab my hand and just drag me, basically. A very scary thing. I didn't like it. I will tell you, I didn't like that. Drag me to her room and then would often just pull me right to her bed. You know, she has a bed there. She has been widowed at a younger age, which was the time when actually he was saved. She was saved. This is during the Sino-Japanese War in Hong Kong. And so dragged me to the bed and caused me to kneel down with her, you know, at the bed. Sometimes not at the bed, sometimes at her chair. And the chair side is not for prayer. The chair side is to read some Bible with me, you know, some Bible. All of which were nothing that I am inclined to do or have much interest in. But here's grandmother, what can you do? And in those prayers, there's no God's economy, you know what I mean, like today, you know, we're just... we all can give messages in our prayers, right? No. It was just simple, simple prayer that even a 12-year-old could grasp. And that was a prayer. He just went down the line, 13 of his grandchildren from the first to the last. And I memorized that, so I know exactly what she's going to pray before she prayed. She would also pray for her children. That is my parents' generation, but especially for the third generation. In our case, there's a bit of a generation skip. My parents' generation was not that much for the Lord. But the third generation, which she put her hope in, was different. And she prayed just boom, boom, boom down the line. And I know by her prayer that that was not just praying to me or with me. I know by that prayer that that's how she prayed probably several times a day. You know what I mean? Now again, she didn't pray for some high things. She just prayed for our salvation. And then she prayed that all of us will love the Lord. She prayed that all of us will follow the Lord. And she prayed that all of us will serve the Lord. And signature prayer is very much similar to many brothers, the older generation prayer, and that is that famous verse in Joshua, right? At the end of Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah, right? You all know that verse. And that's all she prayed. And here let me say something. Brothers and sisters, I feel that we actually even need a little revolution in our prayer. I feel in the Lord's recovery, well, that may be a little bit too much for me to be so blanket. I do have some feeling that over time, because of the knowledge that we have, and I have nothing against the knowledge that we have, that our prayer becomes more a kind of a regurgitation or a kind of repetition of certain of these knowledge. And even that, I would not say it's wrong. I would not say that is wrong. But I do find in many instances that those prayers are a tad bit, they're prayed without earnestness. They pray without adequate sincerity. They pray without adequate burden. They are more kind of a good prayer. You cover from Genesis to Revelation, you know what I mean? Whatever the line you're on, it's not bad. But the earnestness was there. And I recall that, Brother Nee, Brother Lee, and many other people who are praying persons, Christians I'm talking about, say the same thing, that at the end, it is not that constitute a prayer that God will answer. At the end of the day, it is the cry, the desperation, the earnestness. For example, you have this blind man, right? What do you want? The Lord says. And he didn't go about diagnosing blindness and, telling the Lord there are three options of cure, choose one and apply it on me or whatever it is. None of that. You just say, Son of David, I want to see. How's that? There's no high peak there. There's nothing there. He just wanted to see desperately. And so he knew this was the Son of God and so forth. And he just, in simplicity, in sincerity, in single-heartedness, he just blurted out that simple prayer, a prayer that couldn't be more simple. You know what? That prayer was answered. I somewhat think that a lot of our prayers actually were not answered. Good prayers. Wonderful prayers. But those prayers might not have touched, pulled the Lord's heartstring to result in his doing something. I feel we need more prayers, this kind of a prayer, where brothers and sisters in the churches or in this area would perceive, would identify with this burden of the young working saints, for example. And there are other needs, but we're here talking about this need. That they would just be before the Lord every day. Not at the prayer meeting, but every day in their own lives. In some cases, two or three sisters coming together. In some cases, a few brothers coming together. Or in some cases, alone by themselves. They would just kneel down, they would just bow down, they would just, in one accord, in simplicity, pray for the working saints. I will tell you, if this prayer would be here for some years, you trust me, there will be a revival. Something will break forth with this age group. The other group of saints that pray for me that I know, apart from my grandmother, was some saints. These are not just older saints. These are just saints who at that time in Hong Kong, this is in Hong Kong, had a particular burden for the younger generation. They just had that burden for young people, basically for young people. And when I say young people, I don't mean college age, you know. It was junior high, you know, junior high school, that age bracket. They were praying. Let me tell you, they were praying. And actually, I even heard some of their prayer. Some of them themselves were just in their 30s, your age. They became the prayers, the intercessors. And they pray for, I believe, months, if not some years. I'll tell you one brother. Gao is his last name. In Cantonese, Goa. Go Ji Mei. Go Gai Mei. He knows. He was in Kowloon, my site. And he was much older than us. He just had this burden for the young people. So he let the others who were with him to pray like this. I still remember that. Of course, eventually, some of us were cared for by him or shepherded by him. But before that, the kind of burden that he had for the young people. You listen to two brothers pray. You just can tell. This one, you know, to use the Bible verse, the Lord's rebuke, words of rebuke. It says, you draw near to me with your lips, but not with your heart. It says so. We call it lip service. So that means you pray. And he condemned the Pharisees for doing exactly that. Just, they go to the city, the town square, you know. They put on the show and, you know, they lift up their head and do their prayer, right? And here is the sinner. Remember that?
Yeah.
The sinner who's just like this, beating his chest, begging for mercy. The Lord says, who do you think God will listen to? It's in principle that kind of a prayer. I'm okay, but I'm still offering the good prayer, the wonderful prayer. Here is someone in real desperation. I mean, he is a mess, all right? He knows he's not doing well. He knows he has a critical need. And so there's no forms there. There's no religiousness there. There's nothing of that sort there. It is just, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He didn't even know what to pray or how to pray. Have mercy on me. That got the Lord's attention. I feel these days, if a revival is going to come, if something is to be effected in our next generation, we need many saints in the churches to pray in this way. Day in and day out, not just once a week, day in and day out in a ceaseless, steadfast way, out of a burden. I believe, ultimately, this is what will cause something to happen. Not just, you know, fellowship or this. We need that. We need that. But this kind of prayer. Every time the Lord has a special move on the earth, there were these preceding prayers, probably years before the event took place. Years before that explosion occurred, people have been praying. It's a principle. It's a principle. So I like to ask all the saints in the churches. You don't need to know that much. Even simple sisters, brothers who don't know that much, they just have this pure burden for the Lord's interest and for the young generation. So they just pray. Now, for you who are this generation, I would say the same thing. The same thing. I tell you, after these 5 to 7 years, you should know by now, there is no magic with young working saints. You know, we have some magic pill concocted just for young working saints. If they would take one a day, they would become some kind of Superman, lift up buildings and build up churches. I don't know what. By now, you should know no such potion exists, and it will never, never be there. Okay? But I tell you, if there is a secret, I'm going to give you today, and that is this kind of prayer. Now, you pray. You kneel down to pray. You go home with your wife, with your companion. You kneel down to pray. Nothing happens, but you don't stop praying because the burden is there. It may be months, maybe years, but you pray. And I will tell you, something will happen. I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you that. Prayer is the tracks for the divine locomotive. We all know this, right? Prayer prepares the way for the Spirit to move. There's no other way. No other way. Prayer means, Lord, there's nothing we can do. Only you can do something. So I hope there is, if anything, firstly a revival of this kind of prayer before the revival of anything. And this is something that we all can do. You know, my grandmother and I, we didn't pray for hours. And how can a 12-year-old handle hours of prayer? It was just short, rather simple, but it impressed me. And it affected me, because right there she was praying for me. I was one of the names, you know, on her list. How can I not be affected? And so, just in those few years' time, my high school years, the Lord worked not only in me. Well, you know, there was a generation, right, of our age, you know, today's age, who at that time were all high schoolers, right, entering into college and what have you. in Hong Kong. I'm specifically talking to you about Hong Kong. You know Andrew Yu? He's 2 years older than me. He was more advanced than me in being brought back to the Lord in that kind of a strong way. You know, today I still have a little booklet that when I left for the United States, all the saints wrote something, you know, what do you call these words of encouragement, whatever. And Andrews also wrote something for me. For me. I came here first. And there were others. I think Brother Goh is, and others were all wrote something. You know, your brother, Daniel Chang, here, German Lei, you know, Daniel here, he was more advanced. He's, you know, he's even a little older in that group. Sorry to say at that time, Feng Zili, I mean, you know, Joseph Feng, was a top one leading that group that was made a huge impact in our lives. Sorry, he's gone now, but anyway. Regardless, it's whether it's in the 1960s and today, in 50 years later, in the 2000 something. Regardless, at that time, we didn't know anything about God's economy. Now we know everything about God's economy. Something never changes. And that is prayer. This kind of prayer. Brothers, if I would like to give you some training, young working saints, I would start right here. And that is your prayer. Your prayer. It's time that you pray. The prayer of the righteous man avails much. All right? You know, you read the book on prayer, there's too many wonderful lessons there. But I just give you this very simple one. Simple one. All right? You just come together and pray in Berkeley. You're in San Francisco, you're in San Jose, wherever you may be, in Fresno. You just come together and pray. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, lunchtime. You just pray. And I tell you, if there are so many praying saints and so many praying little groups all up and down this bay, you really think nothing will happen? Now, if nothing happens, then we just can blame the Lord. Not blame the Lord, but we can say, Lord, that's up to you. We've done our part. We should be able to say that. You should be able to say that. I like to have a call to prayer. Before the call to any action or any, you know what I mean, activities, which we will have. The first activity is the activity of intercession. Will you not do that? Will you not do that? You say, my condition is terrible. How can I pray for people? I tell you exactly. Exactly. The principle in the Bible is when you take care, number one, of the Lord's need, and number two, of others' need, the Lord will take care of your need. That's another principle. He who waters will be watered himself also. That's the principle. It's time for you to take care of the Lord and your peers and others, right? And the Lord will revive you. The Lord will revive you. Is that okay?
Amen.
I don't want to make this so inaccessible and difficult. You just start. I mean, a 12-year-old can start, even. for sure you can. All right? And the more you pray this way, the more you would know how to pray, how to touch the Lord. Sometimes when you pray to such an extent, you even have the assurance the Lord has heard it. Even in some sense, the Lord has answered it. But not all the time. Not all the time. Only sincere prayer with steadfastness. Okay, now I move on to my next burden. This is, I don't know what you call it, fellowship or training or talks, whatever. I have talked to you last time, if I recall, about the first thing first, right? First thing first. After we have seen the vision, we've seen the environmental situation, we talk about history, didn't we? Then we come to see our commission today, your commission today, as the present generation, not my generation, but your generation. What is your commission? I talk about all of that. Then I believe last time I spent some time, I say first thing first. The first thing is all of you must build up a life with the Lord. Didn't I say that? I think so. That's where it all begins. Okay, it's not doing this, running around doing that, serving this, serving that. The first thing is you must maintain a personal walk with the Lord. You must fight for that. You must relentlessly fight for that. You must not let that go. And it is a romance. It is an enjoyment, but it is also a fight. Amen. The Lord is near, am I right? Both in the temporal sense and the spatial sense. The Lord is near. The Lord is in us, right? In our spirit. But still, in order to enjoy Him, supply by Him, and be under His dispensing, we need to still exercise to contact Him with our spirit. There is no replacement for this. There's just no replacement. And you must do this daily. Daily. Especially in the morning. But not limited to just the morning. Right? The morning to give the Lord your best time. To give the Lord the top tenth. Meaning you tithe your time to the Lord. By giving Him your very best. And that is in the morning. Before you're distracted, before you do this and that, you give the Lord those minutes. How long, I cannot tell you. But I told you, I did say, I hope it is not, 10 seconds, or just a minute. I think the Lord deserves a little longer date, with us. And so, and I will tell you, don't even let the Holy Word for morning revival become a crutch. Did you hear me? And I'm not down on Holy Word for morning revival. I have it, So don't take me wrong. But I have seen many who use the Holy Word, the HWMR, right, without hardly touching the Lord. They just read it, they close it and say, I did my morning revival or something like that. They never got one bit revived. They just got a few words into their head, some truth in the white parts, whatever, or they just read something in their mind. Dear saints, you must call on the Lord. We also need a revival of calling. this kind of calling, the kind of calling that one call, your tears will flow. One call, the sweetness will overwhelm you of His love. One call, and something begin to vibrate in your heart. I mean, that kind of calling, not this superficial, formulaic calling that has become somewhat, what should I say, a kind of a habitual thing among us, but really without its effect afterwards, because I don't see the effect. Even you don't feel the effect. You're just doing it. I challenge your generation of saints to revive a lot of these wonderful old life practices that used to be prevailing and effectual, but has somewhat become a kind of local church formula, local church something or rather. I want you to find the Lord. I want you to find Him every morning. Maybe firstly behind the lettuces. It's okay. But He's calling you in the Song of Songs. Come away with me, my beloved. Will you not rise up? Will you not run after Him? See, all these deep, absolutely personal relationship with the Lord, I find wanting in this generation. So what I'm talking about here, nothing is new. Nothing is so new. You all know these things. But I am aiming at the experience, brothers and sisters. I'm aiming at your experience of these things. Your opening of the heart in the morning. You know, you can have a whole morning revival with your heart closed. Never was opened. How about that love, that renewed love and vow every morning? What is that? Is it Psalms 113 or 103? About the what? The womb of the morning, of the consecration of a young man, huh? Huh? 110, excuse me, right? You know that verse. The dew from the womb. There's a picture there. There's a picture there. That the consecration of a young person is like the womb of the morning. It's like dew that refreshes Christ, the one who is still warring, the warrior. Brothers and sisters, that kind of experience, I would actually prefer to recommend to you, the first thing is to sing to Him. Not even to pray read. Because pray read has become a formula to you. Da-da-da-da, amen, da-da-da, amen. How about sing a chorus to Him? I do that. You know, I'm one of those who like to sing in the shower. I tell you, when I get into the shower in the morning, I just sing to the Lord. I sing something that comes to my head, some melody that will well up with grace in my heart, some old time hymn that saints don't even sing anymore today. I tell you, it won't take 5 seconds, 10 seconds, when the tears that fall down from my eyes and the water that is coming from the shower head, I don't know what is what. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not about going through the motions. It's about whether you touched Him. Did you touch Him, my brothers and sisters? Were you visited by Him? Was He present with you at that juncture? That's my question. I don't ask, did you do your morning revival? And then when your heart is thus opened, I tell you, pray reading is sweet. It is just like drawing the life in love from his dear word, which is the Spirit that feeds, that nourishes. And you don't need three verses. I tell you, for me, one verse is too long. I mean, I like to chew just on one word, a phrase, and that is enough for me. Because I'm really eating it. You are reading over it. You can read a chapter. But I suck. You know what I mean? I lick. I assimilate. That kind of mastication of the Lord's word also need to be recovered. I tell you, you know the difference. Because afterwards, you are not the same. You, when you go to work, when you go to do your things, I tell you, you're not the same. I don't know how long that will take. Some of you have more time, some of you have less time. And sometimes some of you in transit to work, right? That is an absolute marvelous time. Absolutely marvelous time. On BART, on your car, whatever it may be, it is actually the best time to just be with the Lord. Or, in that case, to go through something in his word, and then so on. You see, brothers and sisters, it is, you just do this every day. You do this every day. Then I challenge you, as I challenge the full-time, FTTA people, that besides this kind of time with the Lord in the morning, the whole day you should live a life with the Lord in simplicity. I know you're busy, you're running around, you have to think, you have to do, of course, we all have to do that. But here and there, you can breathe. You can call. You can turn. The coffee break time. The bathroom, 5 minutes. Lunch. I tell you, just turn to him. And then, you know, through the day, our practice is just a simple life of living Christ. And that is what? That is a life walking in the Spirit. You know, these things we all know. You know what I mean? All these things we know. But I find we are short in nowadays. Generally, we are somewhat short. And that kind of life, according to the Spirit, is the daily overcoming. Revive in the morning, overcome throughout the day. You just live in such simple way. By the way, what I'm describing here is not extraordinary. It's not immensely difficult. It is actually very doable by all of us. Now, it takes some building up. It takes practice. Anything takes practice. But once you come into, so to speak, that routine, I use that word in a positive way, you just live like that. You just live like that. Right? When you sin, you fail, which we all do. We're faced with temptation of the world of sin. These things happen. We are somewhat overtaken by certain weakness. We lost our temper, right? These things happen. But when that happens, we quickly turn. And we have the wonderful blood of Jesus. You know what I mean? We can quickly repent. We can come back to him. You know, and of course, by the Spirit, we overcome the power of sin. All of these things becomes real. It becomes ongoing all the time. I very much, and in Irvine, I devote a whole local conference to this on singing and hymning and psalming as a way to live the Christian life. I think we have lost that. You know, we sing today before the meeting. That's not the kind of singing I'm talking about. Or we sing at the Lord's table, which we do, which we need a lot of help to improve. By the way, I like to give us some training on the Lord's table, because a lot of our Lord's table has also degraded into a kind of, sorry to say, sing along. Well, I'm talking about the daily Ephesians 5, Colossians 3. What? Don't be possessed, or rather, be what? Drunk with wine, but be filled in spirit. Then what? Speaking, you know, one to another. And what? With hymns and songs and spiritual songs, making melody, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And then Colossians 3, which emphasis is more the word versus the spirit in Ephesians 5. You all know this stuff, right? And over there, what does it say? Let the word of Christ inhabit us richly, right? By way of exhortation and admonition, and by singing. By singing. That means singing is a way to indwell that the word indwells you. I have asked the saints. I have it not in my bag, but at home, and I have not done anything with it. I said, please go through our entire hymnal and come up with the best choruses. Just the chorus. I just want the chorus. Or just one verse, the top verse of a, you know, of a popular hymn, and put it all together for me. And they did it. They did it quite rigorously, and I have it with me. About 200. Maybe something like, we have 1,000 something, right? 200. Because I want to compile them and make them into a small, you know, songs for daily living, you know, whatever you call them. Choruses for the day, you know. And you put it here. And I will charge all the saints in the churches all to just sing this every day. I will say one song a week. In 1 week, 1 year, we all would know 52 songs by heart. Wow. You don't need to know all the stanzas. You just need to know a chorus. That's all we ask of you. I tell you, after 1 year, your repertoire of choruses will increase by 52. And this kind of thing is exactly what will come in handy when you enter into the shower, right? This is the kind of thing that will handy when your mind is blank, all right? You know, there's nothing going on. I tell you, let that song well up in you. You know, songs and hymns often does a lot more than just the plain words. Brother Lee told us, writing the hymns, which he did a whole bunch, is much harder than writing a prose or a message, because it distills the truth and the sentiments, emotional sentiments, you know, so that you have the Psalms and all of that, and put in the form of poetry. And you know, poetry is, you know, I usually think, you know, these crazy people write poetry, you know, this nonsense. Well, I'm wrong, you know. Poetry is the hardest thing to write, you know. I mean, it is a distillation of many deep things and the philosophies and thoughts and life experience and into this singable, you know, this poetry. I tell you, we have so many. I am very, very concerned that after two more generations, they don't even know those good old hymns in our hymnal anymore. Now, I'm not saying current hymns are bad, but I tell you, you can't beat the old hymns. Let me tell you one super, super popular hymn, Amazing Grace. So this time in my sister's memorial, we sang that. I mean, Amazing Grace, you know, the bagpipes, you know, everyone sings Amazing Grace. You know what I mean? But have you paid attention to the words? I mean, all four stanzas. John Newton, the master of a slave ship, the one who cursed at God, who lived in vice and a degenerate person, running slave ships up and down the coast of Western Africa. But due to the mother's prayer, John Newton has a mother who prayed. And he actually didn't come to the Lord until older. I don't know what is older, 30s in those days. Turn to the Lord. And that hymn has a story behind it of his, a story of his. Of course, the tune is just, I mean, an absolutely perfect match with those lyrics. Am I right? But I tell you, you just go home even just to sing Amazing Grace. As is. You don't need to change it to recovery terms, you know. You just sing it as is. See what happens. You will touch the depth of gratitude of a sinner, a real one, of God's grace that had visited him. I mean, that's why it's so moving. The Spirit is there. But we don't sing. I tell you, after prayer, you know, after calling on the Lord, you know, along with prayer reading, I like to see a revival of singing. Not in the meeting hall, in your daily life. You just sing. We have a brother at BFA. He is not a speaker. Even his prayer, two sentences, that's the longest prayer he can pray. He loves to sing. He loves to sing. He just sings. And he is happier than me. You know, I'm always kind of Mr. Atlas, you know, the whole world's burden is on my shoulder. And I just added the Bay Area to that. You know, I forgot to sing.
Amen.
You know, how can I bear this? Sometimes, let me tell you know, like the chain gang, it's rough, you know. The only way they can last is sing. The slaves in the South, it is hard life. The only way they know is to sing. Singing is something God made in man. With these vocal cords, with these, what do you call it? These, what? The 7 keys or 8 keys, what do you call it? Huh? The octaves. Not everyone is made to be, a fantastic singer, but everyone can sing. I'm with Brother Lee a lot, or sat next to him. Brother Lee cannot sing, but she sure can write. But he cannot carry a tune. That's Brother Lee, but he sings somehow. Benson Phillips, terrible. Sorry to say this. I'm talking about singing, you know. I think half of the world's population cannot sing. But we can sing. Singing makes you happy. You know, sometimes even you sing a worldly song makes you kind of happy. You know, get your mind off the whatever problems. Well, but we don't need to sing that. We just sing happy song. I mean, the hymns. I tell you, there's so many lovely choruses. And you sing that, you just feel, oh my goodness, I'm out of this world. I'm okay. The Lord is still here, you know. Things are not that bad, you know. All kinds of wonderful things happen when you sing. And no wonder we are charged in the New Testament to sing. In the Old Testament, you know, the priest, one of the priest's job is to sing. You want to be a priesthood? If you don't sing, you are disqualified. There's no room for frowning priests, you know, unhappy priests. Well, I really mean that. These are all practices. You just go back and sing. Brother Lee gave one message in Taiwan, maybe two. It's in the books. The whole message is on singing, and he sang it. He came with chorus after chorus after, not of what he wrote, of what others wrote. Chorus after chorus to tell the saints to sing. In every revival, there's always songs. Sometimes even a song that characterize a revival. But today's song is just, you know, before the meeting, after the meeting, only at the Lord's table. No. We need to sing more. Would some of you help me to put that thing together? How about you and Bay Area publish it? I don't know what LSM would say. I don't know, but... I mean it. Just you have it in your here, and we will start the church life here one song a week, the whole church.
Amen.
When I see Jim, I'll just start singing that hymn. He'll sing that to me. The whole week, we'll just get just pickle with that hymn.
Amen.
Then next week, we'll set another one.
Amen.
You know, in the Holy Word, there's a song in the back, but I don't think any one of us would sing that hymn. We just, you know. How about this? It will help you even in your job, in your raising your children, to sing.
Amen.
I really mean it. Amen. Because when you sing, you're filled in the Spirit. You're inhabited by the Word. Singing makes a crabby person happy.
Amen.
It does. Oh, what time is it? I didn't plan to say all this. What is it? 4:35, which means it's already. Oh, okay. We're not yet there. Okay. All right. Sing. Okay. You know, a lot of love songs, consecration songs in the hymnal are just not sung anymore. Thy mighty love, right? That one, you know that one? About its precious on its way. You know that one? Forgive me if I say, burn, O love, deep within my heart, burn fiercely night and day, till all the dross of earthly love is burned and burn away. O Jesus, Lord, with me abide, with thee, I rest in thee, whatever betide. Thy gracious smile is my reward. I love thee, Lord. I mean, that's just one of many. Even this old one, fairest Lord Jesus. Have you sung that one? Ruler of the nations, right? With very, not much truth, not much, you know, heavy. But I tell you, it will make your day. Hymns are written according to experiences. Now, we have a lot of hymns of truth. We need that. But by and large, poems are based on experiences. And these are the experiences of the past saints. They're real. You know, even some really old ones, you know. I recently found a wonderful old one. It's an Irish, Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision. You don't even know that. And I love that tune. It's very Irish and very, very, I love it. But then I got into the verses. I said, this is probably, you know, in the Middle Ages, you know, the kind of song. And I look into it. Jim, you'll be surprised. something of the high peak is there. Be thou my vision. How does it go? Da da da. Da 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 da. Right? You know that one? Okay. All right. I don't have a good voice. Be thou my vision. Go check that out. It's not even in our hymnal. And just too many songs by you name it, Fanny Crosby, just yeah. wonderful hymns. Just Wesley songs, you know, always so stirring. Charles Wesley. Go get a book. There are many books written on the story behind these songs. Go check that out. It will make you sing. It will make you appreciate. Even this old one, Rock of Ages. This old, you know, old time gospel. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Right? It is just moving. Maybe I'm the emotional type. Maybe. I don't know. But what would life be without some emotions? You know? What would be the Christian life be without a whole lot of emotions? All right. So you do this. You need to do this. Now, and then prayer. Of course, I mentioned that already, the prayer. These so-called life practices, we just need to do it. I especially like to recommend singing, especially your life, you know, busy, just kind of like this. You need to sing. You know, the old, in China, in other places, these coolies, these people that do manual hard labor. While they do it, you know, they're rowing the boats. You know what I mean? They just sing the old folk songs. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Okay, that's the way to have the Christian life. Paul and Silas got locked up. I mean, they weren't pretend to be Mr. Atlas in jail. At midnight, they were having a party. They were singing. And then the earthquake happens, right? That's how it should be. You know, the early church was a singing church. You go study it. And of course, there's a whole study on hymnology, on all of that stuff. If I go to Bible school or seminary, I would like to get a degree on that, even though I can't sing. But it's fascinating. It is a great, great integral part of the Christian experience of the church. That is the songs, the hymns. We lost it, and now it just becomes this big old scary. What do you call it? These organs, you know, and these cathedrals. Those are later day stuff. In the early days, they were just a singing people, not just a calling people, a singing people.
Amen.
We need that recovery. I hope you will recover that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You like the idea? Would you like to take a look at those? I'll pass it on to you. I have no time. I have no people to help me. I pass it on to you. Pull out your guitar, as in my case, pull out my ukulele, or just do a cappella. You know, that's the purest form of music, the Gregorian chant. You know, whatever it is, you know, chant if you will, chant away, my brother.
Yeah,
why not? then we will be happy people, we'll be vitalized, we'll not always be, you know, just mopping around, and, you know, I mean, okay, all right. Now, the next thing I want to talk to you about really is very important. That is companionship. I must talk to you about companionship. But what time is it now?
4:41.
Yeah, already. I don't have time. I better have that break, and then we will come back to talk about companionship. I'm not here to, you know, to tell you go, do it. You know, the whole burden is on you. You take over. I know some of the working saints are tired of that sermon. They are absolutely tired of that sermon. Every time you gather us together, you tell us we are the greatest generation and we need to take over, we need to do this and that. So I want to change all of that. I won't tell you what to do. I tell you, sing.
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
Enjoy.
Amen.
Breathe.
Amen.
Eat.
Amen.
Drink.
Amen.
Be filled.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to tell you
Amen.
Now. Because such people, only such people, can do anything for the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord does not want a, you know, long face to come and serve him. Amen?
Amen.
You know how Jericho is taken down, right? Seven times. Seven times. Then blow the trumpet. That's it. Doesn't need you to fight. You just sing to him. Amen? I feel we need more saints who are living in victory.
Amen.
Not struggle to overcome like that. But you are just above it because of the Spirit. Okay?
Amen.
How about we take a break? Is it okay?
Yes.
Just a little break, and then we come back. At what time?
15 minutes.
Sorry, no food right now, right? Just, this is just a bathroom break. Okay, go.